Well, thank you for that wonderful reminder through song. Remind us who God is and what he does and the trials of life. And this morning, I'd like to ask you a question. When I say, what do you need? What comes to your mind? What do you need? You don't have to answer it out loud, but think about it. When we say, what do you need? What goes through your mind? I need things to calm down. Just things are too wild right now, too busy. I need things to calm down. I need people to change. There's these people in my life, and I just need them to change. I just need some situations to improve, to be a little bit different. What do you need? When a person is hungry, he needs food. When a person is thirsty, he needs water, drink. When a person is sick, he needs to be better. He needs health. When a person is without a job, he needs employment. When a person is married, he needs maybe he needs a spouse. When a person has family problems, he needs restoration. These are the things that come to our mind. When we say the word need, we're all thinking of different things. And we think if this was a little bit different, things would be better. I could do things better. I could serve God better. I could be more useful if just this thing changes. The Apostle Paul is going to walk us through and help us think about what our real needs. I'd like you to open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. We have to remember that the book of Philippians was written by the Apostle Paul while he was in prison, and therefore he was not in a good situation. Prisons in those days were not beautiful places. I've been able to take people, because I lived in Rome most of my life, I've been able to take people to the prison where they say Paul and Peter were stayed. And it's not a nice place, no TVs, no air conditioning. It was just a hole in the ground. In fact, the only way to get in it was by lowering you down this room, and you were down in there. And nobody really cared if you were there or not. Nobody took care of you. Being in prison those days was not a comfortable thing. In fact, people had to come to their rescue if they had a loved one in prison, because no one else would take care of them. The Apostle Paul not only was in prison, but he was going through a difficult time because the believers were watching his life, and some of them were criticizing him. In fact, they were preaching Christ, but they were preaching in a negative way, preaching things against the Apostle Paul. And so not only he had to deal with his circumstances that were not great, he had to also deal with the believers that were not behaving well. And in spite of that, we read in chapter 4, starting verse 10, the assessment of the Apostle Paul. He says this: I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Not that I'm speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Yet, it was kind of you to share my trouble. And you Philippians yourself know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, No church entered into partnership with me in giving and receiving, except you only. Even in Thessalonica, you sent me help for my needs once and again. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I'm well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray for a minute and ask God to make our hearts soft to his word. Heavenly Father, we come to you, and I know that even I come today thinking that there are some things in my life that are hard, that are not enjoyable, things that I would prefer not to have present. We all deal with the difficulties of life, and I pray that this morning you will speak to our hearts and you'll help us to learn how to deal with our circumstances and our situations, how to read them through your eyes, how to assess them according to your word, how to live them according to your purposes. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul desired the believers in Philippi to be content with their life. He wanted to help them to understand how to live their life through difficulties. Paul was not a stranger to difficulties. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 is speaking about his life, and he's comparing himself to some that were criticizing him. And so he recounts, or he reminds them of the things that he had gone through his life. And he says, starting in verse 23, are they servants of Christ? And he's just making a comparison. I am better one. I'm talking like a madman. He's not saying that I'm going to prove to you that I'm better than they are, but he says, if you want to think and compare who's doing bigger things or going through harder things, okay, I'll let you know what I've gone through. And he says, with far greater labors, far more imprisonments, with countless beatings, and often near death. 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea, on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And apart from other things, there's a daily pressure on me of my anxiety for all the churches. This was Paul's testimony. I've been beaten many times. I have struggled in all my ministry. And Paul was now in prison and he's speaking to the Philippians, and he could remember all those events. It seems like the Apostle Paul would get beaten and leave a city knowing that he would be beaten again in the next city. And he kept on going. Imagine what it meant to be stoned. We read those words very quickly, but being stoned, what did it mean? Paul had known what it meant to stone someone. Remember, he was present when Stephen was stoned and Stephen was killed. The end goal of any stoning was to kill someone. And so can you imagine having a circle of men around you? They were picking up the biggest rocks that they could find, and they were aiming for the parts of your body that would kill you. And when you were down, they would continue to throw rocks, making sure that you were dead. And Paul was left for dead, and dragged out of the city. This was the life of the Apostle Paul, and this is the life of a man that tells us that you can live your life with joy and satisfaction in the Lord. As we go through our lives, we realize that we need to learn how to go through life and the difficulties of life. What did Jesus say to us? In this world you will have tribulations. Sometimes we think that as believers, we should go through life without tribulations, that God should have a special eye of regard for our lives. We're serving you, Lord. We're loving you. We're suffering you. Most of Venice is in bed right now. We're up and in church, and we have to put our church together and have to collect things. We get up, we prepare, we do all these things. And you should have an eye of regard for us. You should just treat us a little bit better. We know it's hard, but we don't want it to be too hard. That's what goes through our minds. And when we're going through a difficulty, many times we'll say, okay, maybe I need to behave a little better, and I'm going to behave a little better so that this will stop. Because it can't be that I have to live this way for a long time. If I only do things right, now God will see it, and all of a sudden he'll remember that now I deserve to be a little bit better. Has that ever gone through your mind? It's gone through my mind. And the Apostle Paul here wants to teach us how to go through our lives, through the difficulties of life. And Paul could speak from his pulpit because he could say, I've lived more difficulties than you. None of us can say, Paul, you don't understand. Paul said, I don't understand. You don't understand. You don't understand what it means to be shipwrecked. You don't know what it means to be really thirsty. I remember driving along with my kids, and we would leave for a trip, and we would be gone in the car for a half hour, and all of a sudden, Dad, I'm dying. I need something to eat. Really? That's not being hungry. When Paul says I was hungry, he was really hungry. When Paul said I was thirsty, he was really thirsty. And so this morning we want to look at four decisions that you and I must make to live a satisfied and content life. Four decisions you and I must make so that we can live a satisfied and content life. So we start in the first decision. The first decision that we have to make is to embrace the providence of God. Every one of us has to decide to embrace the providence of God. Let's go back in verse 10 where Paul says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at last your care of me has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." Paul had learned that in his circumstances, he needed to look at the source of everyone. In fact, he says in verse 10, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly." These believers had sent him a gift, but at the end of the day, he did not see them as the source of the gift. He saw God himself as the source himself. He realized that his life depended completely in the providence of God. One of our great problems is that we're going through circumstances that are difficult or situations that we don't like. We tend to look at the people that are causing the event, and we see them as the source. We see them as the cause of our difficulties. We see them as the ones that are creating problems in our life. We look at the circumstances of our life, and we look at the circumstances as the ones that are creating the problem. Paul had learned to look beyond circumstances and to look beyond people because he knew who was in control. He had totally embraced the fact that he depended on God. He embraced the promise of God. Paul had to come to recognize that God was the source of every circumstance that he went through. And so Paul had to stop and think about who God is and what God does. Paul had to learn to trust in God's character. When he was going through those difficult circumstances, he could look beyond the people that were causing it. He could look beyond the event, and he looked at God and knew he knew his God. He knew the character of his God. A holy God. A God that does not make mistakes. A God that cannot do anything wrong. And he could rely and trust in the character of God. But it wasn't only a God that was a good God, but he relied also in a God of whom he trusted his wisdom. This God that had a perfect character was also a God that was wise in everything he did. That he knew what was best in every circumstance. A God that when he controlled the circumstances or the people around Paul, he had great wisdom. But not only he had to remember that God was trustworthy because of his character and of his wisdom, but what would be the good of having great wisdom if he did not have the power to put things into practice? And so Paul had to learn to trust in God's power and know that this holy God, this perfect God with perfect wisdom, had also the power to do whatever was the wisest choice to make. And Paul had to learn to trust at the end of the day in the love of God. Because this perfect God, wise God, powerful God, had always the best intentions for the Apostle Paul. Every circumstance that Paul had to go through was funneled through God's love and God's care for him. Paul had to recognize the source of every event of his life. And it's interesting that he says that this is something that he had to learn. In verse 11, he says, "For I have learned." This was not something that Paul was born with. It wasn't that Paul had the gift of going through trials. Paul had to learn how to go through trials. Paul had to learn not so much on how to grin and bear the event. You know, we think that we need to just learn to grin and bear the event. Paul did not have to learn how to grin and bear the events. Paul had to learn about the God that controlled the events. The more he knew about God, the more he trusted in God, and the more he could let himself be satisfied in the providence of this God. 2 Timothy 3:16 is our verses that we know very well, but it's good for us to be reminded of the importance of learning about God. It says that all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training into righteousness, that a man of God may be competent or complete, equipped for every good work. You are blessed to have a church where your pastor does expository preaching, and every time you listen to the Word of God, you know that it's not just something where he starts from and then he goes and tells you all his opinions. You can trust that every time you come to church, you're listening to the teaching of the Word of God, and what is being taught at the end of the day is the only way that you're going to be instructed and made complete and prepared for the difficulties of life. When the Apostle Paul says, coming back to Philippians, "I have learned," he's talking about the fact that he had learned more and more about God. One question that we should ask ourselves is this. Do you know about God more today than you did yesterday? Do you know more than a month ago? Because difficulties are part of life. And our preparation to go through difficulties is not through the difficulty itself, but it's before the difficulty comes. Obviously, the difficulty will shape us, and as we see God work, it's going to make a difference. But our greater preparation is done before we go through the difficulty. Because it's God's word that's going to correct us, that's going to encourage us, that's going to reprove us, so that we will be prepared for every good work. Going through circumstances in the right way is one of the good works that God wants us to do. And the only way it's going to happen if the word of God is working in our hearts and lives. You know, that's why it's so important for all of us to have a personal time with God every day. You know, some people look at the reading the chapter or a few verses like their good luck event for the day. You know, they get in the car and things go bad. It says, oh, I forgot to read my Bible. If only I would have read my Bible, things would have gone better today. I would have had a better attitude at work. It's not about a good luck charm. It's about knowing God's word, learning about his character, understanding that he's a wise God, understanding more about his power, and understanding that we're loved so that we can go through circumstances. Paul said, I have learned to go through circumstances. That's why every one of us should avail ourselves of every opportunity that we have to study God's word. For a church on Sundays, Bible studies, discipleship. What an important part of our life is the discipleship that we can have in each other's life and helping each other know God's word better. Paul had learned. And Paul had learned to be satisfied. It's interesting that this word, satisfied, that we find here is a word that means that he desired nothing else. To be satisfied means that as you look at the situation, you don't desire anything different. He says, I have learned to be satisfied, to be content, that what I have is sufficient. Now, let's go back and look at the situation, and he was content. He says, I have learned to be content when I am abased and when I abound. When I'm full, when I'm hungry. When I abound, when I suffer need. The Apostle Paul could say in every circumstance that he was content. He was not looking over the fence to see if the neighbors had something they did not have. He was not looking for the event to change or stop. He was content. Are you content in your circumstances? Well, maybe it's easier to find out if we are by the things that we should not be doing if we're content. A content person does not complain. How many years back do you have to look back and remember the last time you complained? I think I complained the last time in 1984. A satisfied person does not complain. A satisfied person does not get angry. When was the last time you got angry? For me, it's been so long, I can't even remember when it happened the last time. A satisfied person is not bitter. I don't even know how to spell bitter. You know, sometimes we say, okay, I'm content. But do you complain? I'm satisfied. Do you get angry? Oh, I'm okay. Are you bitter? Are there some people that when you see them, they bother you? Keep that person out of my life and I'll be okay. Paul said, I have learned to be content. It wasn't based on the amount of times that he had to deal with bad people. It wasn't based on the amount of times that he had been stoned or he had been beaten. It was based on what he knew about God and the fact that God was in control. Paul says, I have no reservations. I have no reservations in being content in whatever status I am. He says, to be abased or to abound. And that's talking about the way people looked at him, the kind of position that he had. There's been times where I've been raised up and times where I've been put down. And I'm content in both situations. He said, I'm content when I'm full and I'm content when I'm hungry. When I'm hungry, I'm not looking for food. I'm content. I'm satisfied. Says, not only in his position, his physical need, but in his possession. I said, I've learned to be content when I abound and when I suffer need. Paul had learned not to complain, not to get angry, not to be bitter in all his circumstances. And he had many reasons, humanly, to become bitter. Paul had learned that he depended on God. And every time I get angry, every time I complain, every time I get bitter, I'm getting angry with God, I'm complaining about God, and I'm bitter with God. We think that we have a person in front of us that's the cause of the event to which we have a right to be upset with. And God wants us to know that behind that person, he's there. So when I get angry, when I complain, when I get bitter, I'm really complaining, being bitter, being angry at God himself. It certainly raises the bar of the event. If we look at a person, we'll always maybe find a reason to be angry with them. They haven't treated us as nice as they should have. They haven't responded as well as they should have to what we've done. But when we think about God, can we ever be bitter? Can we ever complain? Can we ever get angry? Paul had no reservations. Remember when Joseph, with his brothers, they came to him and he said to them, you meant this for evil? So there were people involved. How much time did Joseph have to think about how evil his brothers had been? Thrown him in a dungeon. They sold him. He was put in prison more than once. And there he was. Can you imagine the kind of thoughts that you and I would have being in prison, knowing that you're there because your brother sold you? Wouldn't that be a great time to fester and to grow bitterness in our life? Wouldn't it be a great time to complain, to be angry? And he says, you meant it for evil, but there was someone behind you that meant it for good. Joseph had learned that. Job said, won't I accept from the hands of God the good? Will I not also accept the evil? Paul had learned about God. He learned to depend on God, the source, the cause of everything in his life, the instructor of everything that he had to go through. So the first thing that Paul reminds us to do, that we need to embrace the providence of God. But you and I, probably goes through our minds and says, I try, but I just can't do it. It's hard. I can't do it. And that's why Paul says there's a second decision that you must make. And this is the decision you must make, is to embrace the power of God. Not only you must embrace the providence of God, but you must embrace the power of God. Verse 13, a very short verse, he says, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. This verse has been misquoted so many times. It's not talking about your ability to do anything. I remember even in the Christian school, my son was learning how to play the saxophone, and his Christian teacher said, when you can't play your saxophone, remember, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. And I want to say, doesn't really mean that. What Paul was saying is, When you're going through a difficult circumstances and you have learned to embrace God's providence, then you need to embrace God's power. And what does it mean? How many times have we found ourselves in front of a situation that is difficult and that is hard to deal with? How do we pray through that situation? How do we pray for loved ones that are going through a hard situation like that? I think that there's a great verse, great prayer by the Apostle Paul that tells us how to pray for people that are going through difficulties. And I'd like you to look at it with me in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. This is one of Paul's prayers for the believers. And one of the greatest things that you can do is go through the Word of God and find the prayers and learn to pray those prayers in the lives of people. Sometimes we pray for things that are probably incorrect. But when we're praying Scripture, we always know that that's going to be a correct prayer. Paul prays this in Ephesians chapter 3. He says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He might grant to you to be what? Strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ might dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and the height, and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." When Paul looked at the difficulty of the Ephesians, he said, "I bow before God, I bend my knees, and I pray according to the riches of His glory. I know who to go to. I know to God, and I know that He has everything that is needed to take care of the situations. So I go to Him, and I trust Him because I know His character, and I know that He has the riches necessary." And he says, "I recognize that He needs you to be strengthened in His love and His care, that you may know His love." Again, Paul said, to be strengthened, you need to go to the source of all the information that you have to have about the God in which you have trusted, to which you have trusted your life. He says, "I can do all things through Him who strengthens me, because the one who strengthens me is at work in me, and He's powerful. And He wants to work in our inner being." He's not talking so much of how to deal with the exterior things, but the fact that God wants to work in us through Christ, through the Holy Spirit. We have an inner problem. When we're going through difficulties, it's not about the circumstances or the people. It's about us. And we need to go to God for the strength necessary to go through the situations. I have three sons. We have three sons that we love, and two of them are very far. And one is in California, and one is New Jersey, and he's not walking with the Lord. And then we had another one that was hours away, and now he just moved, and we're glad to have him around again. But they're older, and there's so many times that they're going through difficulties. And you know that they're struggling through events of their life. And there you are, miles away, thinking, how can I help them? The Apostle Paul had all kinds of people that he loved. And as he sat in prison, as he sat miles and miles away, in a time where you could not pick up a phone, where you could not write an email, that you could not Skype, that you could not get in a car and be there in a few hours, he sat in his cell and he said, "The greatest thing that I can do is to pray that they would know Christ, that they would know His love." Dear friends, the Apostle Paul had learned where to go for power, and that was the person of Jesus Christ. He says, I have embraced the power of God, and it's a spiritual event. And that's why I have to bow and pray. As we go through our difficulties, how many times have you found yourself in a situation where the person is dealing with something that you have never dealt with? And sometimes their reaction is to say, well, you don't know what I'm going through. And all you can say, you're right. I remember going and preaching at a funeral of a family whose one of the twins, a baby twin, had just died. Did I know what it meant? No, I didn't. That man was going through a difficult time. That was his second wife. His first wife had died in childbearing, and he had lost his wife and his child years before. And now this was with his second wife, and he was dealing with bearing their child. He could turn around to me and say, Dave, you don't know. You don't know what it means. And he was right. But I knew the God that he needed to trust. I knew who I could go to prayer and ask him to strengthen him in his inner being. Dear friends, it's so important that we go through our trials and difficulties in a spiritual way. And so it's so important that we decide to trust, to embrace the providence of God. And we decide to embrace the power of God. But as we learn to trust in His providence, sometimes it's hard. And sometimes at this time, we tend to just be closed in ourselves and look at the misery of our situation, and all of a sudden become very discouraged. And that's why Paul says there's a third decision that you need to make. He says you need to embrace the people of God. In verse 14, he says, yet it was kind of you to share in my trouble. And you Philippians yourself know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church entered in partnership with me in giving and receiving except you only. Even Thessalonica, you sent me for my needs once and again. Then in verse 17, he says this, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. I have received full payment and more. I'm well supplied, having received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice acceptable and pleasing to God. In his difficulties, Paul was not self-focused. He had learned that he was living for the benefit of the other believers. It wasn't about him. His life was not something that was supposed to be in center and him be more comfortable and him not having difficulties. His life had one purpose, was to glorify God. And the glory of God was fulfilled in three ways in his life. Number one, if you look at the book of Philippians, the number one way was for Christ to be formed in him. He says, for me to live is Christ. The second thing was to see Christ formed in the other believers. And the third thing was to see others that did not know Christ come to Christ. Those were the goals of his life. And Paul says, the third decision that I made in my life is that I have embraced the people of God. I live for them. And so I am not concerned so much about what's going through in my life. In verse 23 of chapter 1, Paul says this, my desire is to be with Christ, for that is far better. He knew that dying would put him out of his misery. That he would be with his Father, that he would be with Christ. He would be with the one that he had lived for all his life since Christ had revealed himself to him. But he says, but to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress in joy and joy in the faith. He says, as I go through my circumstances, I know there's only one reason I'm going through this. And this is because God wants me alive so that I can be a servant of Him in the life of the people that He's put around me. This situation I'm in is a situation that God is going to use for the benefit of others. When we're going through difficulties, our first prayer is, God, get me out of here. God, make me better. Give me the job I need. Change the situation I don't like because I can serve you better. And Paul says, no. If I'm in that situation and I have relied on the fact that God is in control and that he has the power to change the situation, he's strengthening me, then that situation is what God wants to use in the life of others. And that's the only reason I'm alive. Too many times our lives are self-centered. Too many times our life are looking at ourselves, and therefore we become unhappy. We complain. Every time we complain, we don't complain because of what people are doing to God. We're complaining because of what people are doing to us. When we get bitter, we become bitter because people have done some things to us that we didn't want them to do. When we get angry, it's because things are not going the way we want them to go. And Paul says, I have learned to embrace the people of God. As I go through my situations, I want the benefit of those people. He said in verse 17, not that I seek the gift. That wasn't important to me. I could have stayed hungry if I needed to stay hungry. I could have stayed without water. I did not need to buy a new coat. I didn't need anything. But I seek the fruit that increases to your credit. The fact that you gave me a gift has proven that God is working in your life. That's making you more attentive to my needs. And that I'm glad for. I'm glad that God is working in you. That's what I care about. I don't care about my comfort. Paul could go through situations that were difficult in life, and he says, I'm joyful in this because I know God's working in you. You know, sometimes I see it in my life. I get so quickly disturbed because things don't go my way. Even when I'm serving God. Even when I'm serving God, sometimes I'll do something and I'll say, well, but they didn't respond that well. But they didn't even think about my situation. They didn't realize how much I suffered to do that. Paul never thought about that. He said, all I cared about is that I'm here and I'm serving you and God is formed in you through my life. There's no other reason to live than to serve Christ. Paul knew how to go through difficult situations because he had learned to trust in the providence of God. He had learned to trust the power of God. He had learned to trust the fact that God wanted him to serve others. But what was God doing? As God was watching all these events, was Paul out of the picture? Paul knew that he was never out of the picture. And that's why he tells him, he says, there's a fourth decision that you need to make as you're going through situations. He says in verse 19, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Paul had learned to trust in the promises of God. Paul had a God-centered life. He knew that he served a God that had said, I will supply every need of your life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. David had learned that. He knew that the good shepherd would take care of him and he would not want anything. Paul is here and he's saying the same thing. But I know, and now he turns it towards the believer. He says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He reminds them again that they're serving a rich God according to his riches. There's no end to the riches of God. And God has a desire to be glorified through the events of our life. And he says, I will supply all of your needs. So what does that mean? When I studied this passage, one of the most important things that I had to learn was this. A need is not what I call a need. God defines the need. When God decides that I have a need, He will supply that need. I tend to think that I have a lot of needs. I drove here thinking that I have needs. And reality is that if they were real needs, God would have supplied. God defines what a need is. And when he defines what a need is, then he supplies to that need. He has all the resources necessary to supply for that need. And at the end of the day, he's going to bring glory to himself. When we started this morning, I asked you, what do you need? And if you're like me, some things went through your mind. But there are times where you need to be hungry more than you need to have food. There are times where you need to be thirsty more than you need a cup of water. There are times where you need to be sick more than you need to be healthy. There are times where you need to not have a job more than you need to have a job. There are times where you need to have difficulties with other people more than you need to have peace. There are times where you need to go through difficult circumstances more than going through easy circumstances. Because God has decided that that is what you need. What you came with today, this morning, I can guarantee you that that's what you need. Just, well, I don't like it. I don't want it. And God says you need it. That's what you need. You need to be hungry. You need to be sick. You need to be jobless. You need to not to know the future. You need to learn to trust me. And as Paul ends this, he says, now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Remember when Satan went before God and talked about Job? He said, Job is blessing you and he's righteous because everything is going well. Let me deal with him and then we'll see if he really loves you. Dear friends, you know when you are the greatest testimony for God? When you go through difficulties in a godly way. When you're going through trials in a godly way. When you're going through lack of things in a godly way. That is when God is glorified. That's when people are going to look at you and be surprised that you have peace. Paul had prayed, he said, to bring every concern to God. And then he says, the peace of God. In chapter 3, he says, the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts. The world is watching us. When everything is going well, it doesn't mean much to them. It's through the trials and the difficulties that the world is going to see and say, how do you do it? And we'll be able to say, I can't do it. But God does it in me. And this is important also in the church. You are going through the trials and the difficulties of your life because God says you need that for your growth. You need that to be a testimony to the other believers, and you need that to attract people to Christ. Those three goals for our life, nothing can change. There are no circumstances that say, okay, right now, I can't grow spiritually. Going through this means I can't be a good testimony for others. Going through this means that I'm not going to be a good witness to the world. No. Every circumstance, every event is an event ordained by God that he wants to use in our life. Do I have the strength to do it? No. And that's why he wants to supply the power that is needed. And he wants me not to be focused on myself, but to be focused on others and then to rely on his promises. When it's really a need, God will supply. And that brings glory to God and it brings peace to my heart. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, way too often I find myself without peace, complaining, unhappy, dissatisfied. And it's because I've lost sight of you. Dear Heavenly Father, help us to make faithful decisions, to embrace your providence, to embrace your power, to embrace your people, to embrace your promises. Dear Heavenly Father, we will be amazed of the glory that you bring here to yourself. And as we go through our situations, we can only be reminded of what you told the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient. So much of our life is taken by worrying about things that haven't happened yet. And you'll give us the grace necessary when we meet those events. Work in our hearts. Keep us faithful to you. And help us bring glory to your name and to your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.